So we've been talking about watching yourself. You know, it's easy for us to say, keep my eye on that guy, right? But we really need to understand that out of all the people we need to be vigilant about, it's ourselves. We really do need to take care of number one when it comes to surveillance and being on the ball about things. And as you learn to watch yourself, you realize that you're having to consider the importance of God's Word. Just a little bit review here. So even going back to verse 20, we talked about, as we began the little mini-series that we're in right now, about the importance of really grounding ourselves in the Word of God. Not just about what the latest fad book is saying, but what does the settled truth of Scripture have to say? And that authority makes us very accountable in a good way. And I'll tell you, you're going to find out, God's Word still works. It does. It is relevant. If we'll take the time to study it, read it, and prayerfully ask the Spirit of God to apply it to our hearts very personally, we will find out God's Word works to this very day. We then turned our attention to guarding our hearts, guarding our spirit, that inner man. You know, because we talk about the heart, we talked about how that really is a metaphor, just like we use it, falling with someone, loving them with all your heart. We know what that means. It's that inner being of our life, our speech, watching out for how we have our tongue gets us in trouble sometimes, right? And then last week we also talked about our sight and really the need to be careful about where our eyes go and then what happens when our eyes do take something in and where defilement really takes place. So if you're jumping in with us today and you haven't heard some of these other messages, I would highly encourage you to go back to our website and pick up our podcast and listen to these other messages to get the full benefit. Or you can go back and you can watch the videos that have been archived from our website as well. But so this morning is going to be our last in this series on Proverbs chapter 4. And this is talking about our steps. Now, if we were talking about physical walking, and again, this is kind of like a metaphor, just like the heart is a metaphor, walking. He's not talking about how we use our legs to walk exactly, but he's using how our legs move us about in daily life experience to talk about that part of it, you know, choices that we're making. And a lot of times, we just think, I'm going to go to the kitchen, right? And we don't give much thought to it. We're thinking about the goal. We're thinking about what's in the refrigerator or that cup of coffee or whatever it is, or I just want to go to bed. And we're not always thinking about the path in between, especially if we're familiar with it, right? But you ever been caught off guard by something unexpected? Okay. We have a little dog. And he has items that are his, and he will not be taught to put his items in a good place. So we buy him these little deer antlers to chew on. It's good for his teeth. And if you step on one of those, even in sock feet, it's not a pleasant experience. Okay, and so even though I know the path around the house, especially in the family room where we have this kind of area rug that has lines in it the same color as his deer antler, I always have to think, okay, watch. There's a landmine in here somewhere probably. And so we understand the concept of being careful about our steps. Now, there can be both internal and external things about the need to watch. Internal. We might have eye problems, right? Might be due to aging. It might not be. And it might not just be the eyeball. Sometimes you can have vision problems or issues seeing because of brain issues, right? For instance, you might see spots or something like that. It's not always, that's not always necessarily an eyeball issue. It can be like flecks or floaters or things like that, but it could be something more neurological that's causing you to see those things. And so you have to constantly think, okay, is my vision, my ability to watch, can I trust it? When I started wearing these trifocals, the optometrist said, hey, you know, just need to realize that there's going to be adjustment. I was already used to bifocals, but I was thankfully warned about especially going up, down steps, okay? Because I'm used to just sort of looking ahead as, you know, and so we're like that. But if you look down and I look through the wrong part of the glasses, I'll be misled by what I'm seeing, and it could be very disastrous. So I find myself being very more intentional about how I'm viewing my feet as I'm going down staircases now. But like I also mentioned, there's external things. There's a little pancake house up at the road that we sometimes go to, and as you go, if they seat you in the sunroom area, because it was sort of like an addition or something like later on, the waitress always says, watch your step here, because it's not actually a step, it's a little slope. And they've got yellow lines painted on it and everything like that, but it still kind of catches you off guard because you're used to your foot hitting a certain distance as you're going down, and all of a sudden it's lower and it could cause you to stumble. So all those illustrations are designed to help us to understand. We know how that works when it comes to being just pedestrians, right? Moving our legs and moving our feet about. It works very, very much the same way when it comes to our spiritual movement in life. Sometimes we have to be very focused. Sometimes we have to be very intentional. Sometimes we have to be very mistrusting of our own ability to discern when it comes to our steps. And so as we talk about watching our steps today, we're going to look at it in four questions today. I think the text here in Proverbs 26 and 27, chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 have for us. And the first question is this: do you have sure steps? Do you have sure steps? Notice the first part of verse 26. It says, ponder the path of thy feet. That word ponder that is used there, the Hebrew word behind it, literally means to consider, or maybe a little bit better would be to weigh something. And the idea of weighing something, we're having the idea of valuing it, because when you weigh something, you're trying to, if you're talking about precious metals or produce or something like that, the weight often is associated with the value of it. I like what Isaiah 26 verse 7 says, and I think I might have a misprint on that one, but it is Isaiah 26 verse 7. It speaks of God weighing the path of the just. What does that mean? God's evaluating. God's looking at the way we conduct ourselves. Again, the way we move through life. And there is that estimation of, are we being pleasing to God by the choices that we make that make us in our stride from one point to the next in daily life? And there's so much that can play into this that really ties back to these other things. My movement through life can be affected by a conversation that I have, right? You know, I move into proximity with a brother or sister in Christ, and I begin to have a conversation. You ever find yourself thinking as you're approaching something that you kind of put your guard up? You do that? I do that. If I'm thinking, sometimes I think, okay, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, that I am really controlled by the Spirit. I might, in this particular case, because I'm anticipating the topic, might bring anxiety to my heart. And so I might tend to have more of a fleshly response in that case. And so I'm almost many times really just praying to God, Lord, just take me, take my mouth and my mind, and then just what I say here. but I'm approaching that. I'm walking into that situation. But you know what? You can't always anticipate what you're walking into, can you? There's so much of life that really is off the cuff. It's so off script in many ways. That is why it is so important for us to be always walking in the Spirit, so that we're not thinking, okay, all right, how's a good Christian supposed to respond right now? You know, I wasn't prepared for this. It's not fair. I got blindsided what I walked into just now. I wasn't expecting to meet this person. I wasn't expecting them to respond this way. So there is a weighing of our path. It's interesting, the etymology of that Hebrew word is that of literally preparing a road or a pathway by rolling over it. They're putting in something across from our neighborhood as we come out the entranceway. We're not entirely sure what it is, but they have been doing site work for months out there. And we live probably as the bird flies, you know, maybe 100 meters or so from where the work is being done. And there's some days that I'm in my study and I can feel the vibration of the work that's going on. And usually what that means is they've got that big roller, that steamroller type thing out there, and it's really taking that coquina and pushing it down. Why is it doing that? Because it's trying to make sure that the surface and that which is below it is going to be able to handle whatever it is they're going to put on top of it, buildings or the traffic of cars coming in and out of it. And so we understand the importance of that, and it seems like it's taking them forever to actually, you know, get to the place where they're going to do something meaningful with it. But, you know, that's wise to do that. Is it not wise also for us to take time and ponder our past? Say, how do I do that when it comes to my daily choices? Well, you don't know exactly what a day is going to bring forth, but you know what other days have brought forth. And I find that my quiet time, as I'm reading my Bible, that it is all uncanny how the Lord will give me verses, bring thoughts to me, and then as I pray, that later on in the day, it's like the Lord says, this is what I was preparing you for. I didn't tell you that time. I wanted you to walk by faith. But sometimes it's me saying, you know what, Lord, yesterday I really blew it in this situation. I did not handle that stepping into that situation as I should. So now I'm doing some, if we can put it this way, post-pondering. And that's totally involved in what's being talked about here, pondering the path of thy feet. It doesn't just say in this text the path ahead of you, but think about your paths. Think about how you have walked. Learn from your mistakes, right? Because chances are something similar, not identical, but something similar is going to come your way again. You remember as children being in school, having fire drills? How many of you remember fire drills, okay? And when you had a fire drill, you know, the teacher would say, okay, this is just a drill, okay? But it's like, okay, well, kind of a waste of time, isn't it? No, because it wanted you to go through the regiment so that when it actually happens, perish the thought that it does, but if it does happen, everybody's sort of prepared. You've pondered in advance that this is how we're going to stand up. This is how we're going to line up. This is how we're going to move, you know, so it's not just pandemonium like, there's a fire, everybody out of the building, you know, and everybody's stepping all across each other. Very wise for schools to do something like that. That's the same spirit of what's being talked about here. You know, Lord, you know, I have some things on my appointment schedule for today. Lord, impress upon my spirit. Give me some verses. Help me to know in advance so that I have a little bit more surety. Now, keep in mind, this sureness of steps is not based on I got this in myself. It is, I've been equipped by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. We should not be stumbling around in our spiritual walk. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It's foolish people that just run around without any thought to their surroundings or what's below their feet. Those are the ones that get injured, right? As we make our strides through life, that's exactly the same thing with people's spiritual nature. There are people that just run into life. They haven't taken time to pray. They haven't taken time to meditate. They haven't taken time to be in the Word and say, God, guide me today. And then they just, you know, just make headway right into the day. And by halfway through, they're just thinking, what is wrong? Why is my day going so horribly? Why are things just unraveling? Well, you know, you don't have sure steps because you're not stepping on sure foundation. It's healthier for us to review our past actions and evaluate them according to God's Word. How well did I handle that situation? What needs changed if I encounter it again? By the way, that's great to have sure steps in your marriage, right? In other words, you know, there was a little bit of tension between me and my wife. Was there something I said? Was the way I said it? Lord, teach me. You can be sure of your steps in your spiritual walk when we submit to God's guidance in advance. We're talking about a humble, teachable spirit here, aren't we? Right? Always needed. And we seek the right path in His Word. And when we do that, guess what? The Bible gives us a promise that we will not stumble. Nobody likes to stumble. Nobody likes to stumble physically and trip over something. That is a horrible feeling, right? That moment where you realize, okay, I am going down and there's not much I can do about it because there's nothing to grab onto. All I can do is kind of minimize the casualty. You know, what part of me should I fall on? You know, but that is a horrible feeling when you're in that downward motion, right? Same way spiritually. Nobody is going to like the sense of stumbling spiritually. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." His steps are ordered by the Lord. He's taking His cues, His direction, His guidance from God. Again, it goes back to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, guiding us in that way. But you say, well, if God's doing it, then it's God that's really making it sure, and that's exactly right. I have a sense of confidence. What I'm moving forward with is that good old word, faith. And my faith isn't in myself, because I let myself down way too much. My faith isn't in even in other people that I have found reliable. My faith is in God and in His Word. And in that way, that's where my sureness is. God, You have said this. You have taught this. I am moving forward in my steps today based on what You have said. Do you have sure steps? I hope you do today. Secondly, do you have solid steps? The word here in our text is established. It means to be sure or certain. So a little bit of a overlap here, but there's going to be a nuance change here as we develop from this. The solid steps, as I already touched on, is really based upon God making them solid. Remember the story of the children of Israel coming into the promised land there in Joshua chapter 3, and it talks about how the priest, they hoisted up the ark on their shoulders, and they're looking at the Jordan River, and it's flooding, it's high, and God says to Joshua, tell him, you know, step into the water. And as the priest obediently stepped forward, the waters parted. They didn't see the waters part first. And they were able to walk halfway out. The children of Israel come. But now you think about this. What is typically going to be true of the bottom of a river 3 seconds after the water clears out of the way and you can see the bottom of it? What kind of ground are you going to have? Are you going to have solid ground there? No. I remember when we bought this piece of property, and the men remember this that were here at the time. Basically, this was swamp. They called it wetlands, okay? And the term. I was getting an education about soils, okay? But something that is very abundant down here where we don't have a lot of hills and so forth like that is a clayish substance, and it's kind of mucky. And I remember as we were trying to get the pad, the concrete pad, we had to build it up, and before they ever poured it, it had to pass some compaction test. They would work on it, packing it down with equipment, and then they'd come in and they'd take some bore samples and they would test it to see, you know, how tight is that soil? Is it going to be able to hold up this 10,000 square foot building? Okay, and a bunch of heavy Baptists that come into it, right? No offense, right? But and it took a while to get to that point. And I remember, you know, thinking, you know, because I'm like, let's get this building project going. Let's get moving. Let's build it, you know. And the site engineer was walking around, and we walked to one spot, you know, and he said, let me show you something. And it had rained a couple days in advance. It hadn't rained in a few days. And he said, this is what the problem is with your ground. He says, it's what we call pumping. And so he's standing on what looks like dry ground, but he starts to move back and forth, and I can see the ground underneath of him doing this jello thing. Okay? He says, that's what we got to get away from. And so that's why we got to dig dirt out and bring other dirt in. Why? Because you need a sure foundation. Well, think about that Jordan River. How is it possible? How is it possible that that ground, 3 seconds earlier, having been covered with water, could now support these millions of people walking across it on dry ground? And the answer can only be found in one thing, is God supernaturally, sovereignly, providentially did something that was outside of normalcy. Right? Fair statement? Say, well, you know, I don't remember the last time God asked me to walk across a recently dried up riverbed. But there are things that are similar to that. We have a hymn that we like to sing around here that goes, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? Sinking sand. And, you know, as you look at how they build things around here, you think, oh, they're building on sand. How foolish that is. But if you watch them, they're not really building on sand. They put down solid rock pilings, those concrete pilings. And those go all the way down until they hit a rock shelf layer way down there, however far that is. So when they build those huge hotels right on the beach, they're not really building on sand. They're building around sand, but they're really building on the rock. One day as I was thinking about that, I just thought, you know what, that's the way it looks for the world, maybe, and immature Christians looking at a mature believer walking through life. We're walking through this world. Talk about something that's uncertain. This world's very uncertain. We learned that last year, and we'll see it again this year and the next year. This world is uncertain. But we're not stepping, hopefully, if we're being obedient believers, into the world's philosophy, into the world's solutions. Each step is like we're on the pilings of the rock of Jesus Christ. That's how our mindset needs to be. So just as God supernaturally made that whole riverbed dry enough, compact enough, solid enough for the children of Israel to walk through, He can do unnormal things, irregular things for you and I when He leads us. We're having a great time with the McPhails that are down here and dropping their son off to be with us. And at breakfast this morning, as we were fellowshipping, they were talking about this whole transition of moving Jennifer's parents from where they have lived down in Sylvania, Georgia, up to Greenville, and how they, as the parents and two other sibling families, are going into buying this home. And just in a short amount of time, of a few months, how God, you know, what needed to happen was they needed to sell that house in kind of a country setting where you wouldn't think much would sell, and find a house in the Greenville area where they need to be located, and how the Lord, you know, brought a buyer, how the Lord has brought contracts and interested parties, how the Lord provided a house in a place where it shouldn't have been available, less than the market was saying it should be available for, available for them when they needed it, allowing the move to take place. I mean, it's just one formerly wet Jordan River, now dried up bed after the other. And it isn't just make you want to stand up and say hallelujah when you see God do those things. That's where our solid steps are in our life. We need to stay on the pavement of God's path. Don't get off. You know, one of the worst mistakes you can make. I remember when I was taking a BJU ensemble out years ago, right after I'd finished college. You know, we had this 15-passenger van. And we were having problems because we had a flat tire. And so, you know, instinctively, pull off to the side. Well, there was no real shoulder to speak of. There was just side ground. Well, it ended up being nothing but mud. And I'll tell you what, it was, you know, this huge vehicle, we had nothing but troubles to get it back on. You know, we had to eventually have someone come and yank us, pull us with a tow chain to get us back on. And, you know, when we get off of the path of God has for us, where the sureness is, we get away from His Word and believing His truth, folk, we're going to get mucked down. And we're going to need someone to come along and a good brother in Christ to help us get back onto that solid pavement. How much better if we keep our steps solid based on the truth of God's Word? Thirdly, do you have straight steps? Going into the next verse, he talks about it as a command not to do something. Don't turn. The word for turn is literally stretching or spreading out. That's the Hebrew word can be used for more things than just turn. So the caution is about veering, if we could use that word. Veering from the straight path that God has intended for you. Veering by 1 degree. Have you ever noticed this? Like if you start off, now most of us, we operate on the basis of GPSs that are constantly monitoring to us and telling us, oh, you know, you missed it, go back here. But think about the days of compasses where we guided by compasses. I grew up being for part of my time, a Cub Scout, Boy Scout, and they teach you how to use a compass or something like that. And, you know, as you kind of look at the compass and you have the degrees of the compass and you're like, okay, this is where our destination is and the compass is saying going this way, and you put the compass away and you look off and say, okay, that's where I need to be headed. But if you're not careful and you're off and there's a great distance between point A and point B, then you can find yourself veering quite a bit off by miles when you get closer to your destination, can't you? So we need to be careful about being centered, staying focused. In Deuteronomy 28:14, it says, God said to the children of Israel and to Moses, thou shalt not go aside. There's the idea of veering. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left. It is very important for us to be very concerned that we're getting proper understanding and interpretation of what we are hearing in God's Word. Is it not, folks? Because we can all be staring at the same print on our page, but we might be deviating, and it might seem, it's only by degrees. But when you start applying it to life situations and how people will make choices in their lives, the outcome can be vastly off where God ever intended it to be. Why? Because we didn't take care. We weren't vigilant to stay centered on what is God actually saying to us. One of my favorite characters in the Bible was King Josiah. Here is this bright spiritual light amidst a lot of darkness in the monarchy. People that were put in positions of leadership, these kings, that began to drift, right? They began to be more concerned about what the population was wanting and thinking rather than saying, what does my God say should happen? Well, here's 8-year-old King Josiah when he begins to reign. Amazing if you think about that. And he ruled for 31 years, a nice lengthy reign. One of the things that he's best known for is the repairing of the temple. He's like, we got to get back to worshiping the one true God. And so let's get back to the way God said do it. And at that time, it was the temple. And there was a priest by the name of Hilkiah who was underneath the umbrella of the administration of Josiah at that time. And Hilkiah comes and says, Sire, I found the book of the law, probably the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of our Bible. And Josiah looks at him and says, I am commissioning you to study that so that you can come back and you can tell us what God even more definitively wants us to do. He knew it was important to hearken and to not drift from the right to the left. And that's what made Josiah a good king, as it says in 2 Kings 22, verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. And here it is, and turned not to the what? Right hand or to the left hand. He understood the importance of straight steps. What have you said? I don't want to be sloppy. I don't want to say, well, you know, God probably has a wideness in what he really cares about because he's just looking at my heart. He knows I'm sincere as a Christian. So what does it matter with the exactness of what his word says? Let's don't get all caught up in that. No. He said, this is the revelation of God. This is how I'm going to know if my metric is right in how I'm moving forward. Folks, it hasn't changed one iota since then. God is still looking for believers and disciples who will say, I don't want to turn. I want straight steps in my life. You know, if we first veer in our time with God, getting away from just having personal time with God, then we begin to indulge in ungodly entertainment. I mean, if you're not making Jesus the joy of your life in your quiet time and your worship with him, you're going to fill it with something else. And it's always going to be a bad choice, whatever it is that you're replacing that with. And then pretty soon you're going to lose your appetite, not just for the Word of God, but for Jesus himself. That passion is going to wane. And finally, there's going to be a sense of ignoring God completely, becoming hard-hearted and stiff-necked. That's what happened to the children of Israel, God's people. They did that. Let's not think, well, that will never happen to us. It can happen to us. It does happen to Christians today. We have to resolve to keep straight paths. Fourthly, do you have separate steps? I get this question from the word removes. This is a person. It says, remove thy foot from evil. There's certain places we ought not to be putting our feet. Right? Now, I'm not talking literally. We understand how that works. It's like certain places I don't want to discover that my foot stepped into. Right? But spiritually, it works the same way. There's certain places I want to remove myself from. Psalm 1, by the way, is a great place to understand, you know, the difference between the blessed, what the blessed man is, what he does do and what he doesn't do, you know. There's certain places he doesn't walk, sit, or stand, you know. And instead, he keeps himself rooted in the Word of God, like rivers of water that are there. And you flourish when you do that. But you do have to do both things. I have to say, this is not where I'm going to find myself walking, standing, or my feet comfortably under someone else's table. There's certain places I need to be careful and I need to avoid. And so this word remove is take, means to take it away. The idea of I'm in the wrong path. Whoops. This needs to be corrected ASAP. Proverbs 16:17 says, the highway of the upright is, and we could say equals, what? To depart from evil. So being on the right highway means you're not on the wrong highway, right? We do have to think that way. Say, that just makes common sense. Are there not believers, and have you not been tempted yourself to think, I can walk the path of being a good Christian, and I can also walk in a little path of carnality at the same time? I can indulge this. This isn't so bad. Don't you think that's how Lot was thinking as he thought, I am a righteous man. The Bible even says that Lot was a just man. But at the same time, he was choosing to walk into the direction of a very wicked city. Not what God wants us to do. He wants us to separate. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Simply means hypocrisy. Don't try to be both at the same time. Don't try to put on airs that I'm this righteous person. I do walk with the Lord. But at the same time, you're walking places you shouldn't be walking. The love of God in a Christian's life means that you don't behave that way. You say, my love means devotion. My love means single-heartedness. And as I'm attached to God in that way, then that means I'm going to choose not to put my feet certain places. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's another way of reiterating what he is saying there. Rather than being hypocritical, you've got to make a choice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got to make a choice. And they're diametrically opposed to one another. You absolutely need to look at that sinfulness and worldliness and say, I hate that. Why? Because I have the heart of my Father in heaven, and He hates that. And so I want to hate that. If I'm not hating it like I should, and I know I should, then what needs to be changing in my daily diet and in my daily choices so that my heart will abhor those things? And I need to just wrap my arms and cleave around for dear life to that which God says, this is wholesome for you spiritually. We dabble too much, don't we? Sometimes we dabble too much in the things that are not good for us. There's a man that traveled down a dirt road and was worn into ruts. You know how that happens, especially in the olden days when they had wagons. And because of that, it was extremely bumpy. And he came upon a paved road that ran parallel for a short time. And another man who was in a wagon was on that particular highway, but they were within hollering distance of one another. And he couldn't understand why the guy was still over there. And he says, hey, why don't you come on over here? You know, this road is smoother, harder, and much easier going. And the reply was, well, it's easiest for me just to stay in my rut. You know, there is a little bit of uncomfortable effort of getting out of that rut, right? You got to oomph, right? But once you make that move out of your rut, it is so much better. Life on the paved path of God, of His intentions, are where we need to be. Now, does that mean there's no trouble on the path of God? Not in the slightest. There's trouble. We understand that. But there is a smoothness in our faith operation of, I am rolling along where God wants me to be. I'm not just staying in the status quo of, well, this is just where I found myself. We will never have the walk with the Lord that we should unless we are first leaving the paths of sin. So let's be honest with ourselves. Let's get alone in our closets. Let's ask God, Lord, is there a carnal rut that I've allowed myself, and I don't see it because I've been in it so long. It just seems acceptable. It seems wholesome. I've just chalked it up. It's my personality. It's my life. But it's something that could be changed. It's something that ought to be changed. And by God's grace, it will be changed. Let's be willing to make sure we have separate steps. You know, watching your steps does not mean being so cautious that we refuse to move forward by faith. You know, you can hear these things and it's like, I am scared to death to misstep. I guess I better just stay right where I am and do nothing. Remember the parable of the stewards? Here's some money, here's some money, here's some money. I'm going to be gone. I'll check in with you when I get back, the Lord said to his servants. A little bit different amount to each one, some a little bit more than the others. When he came to the one guy, the two of them, they invested it. Came back, doubled the money. Well done, right? Well done for both of them. And he wasn't that concerned that the one, they both got the same response, even though one made monetarily more profit than the other one did. Hey, you invested it, you moved forward, you were responsible, you were faithful. But then the guy that had the one talent, what did he do with that one talent that he had? Dug a hole, buried it. Master came, he ran back, undug it, brought it to him. Here it is, I didn't lose it. Said, yeah, but I've been gone all this time. You know, where's my annual percentage rate? Right? I could have taken that with me and kept it in my pocket. The whole point was, be a good steward. Do something with it. And he actually calls the guy wicked. Doesn't just call him worthless, he calls him wicked. It is a wickedness if we abuse and misuse the opportunities that God has given to us because we're fearful. He said to his master, I'm afraid you're a just man, you know, and if something went wrong. You know, the implications of that story was, hey, if you tried and the story was, you know, I invested it, but it went south, it didn't happen the way it went. We're led to believe that the guy wouldn't have been hard on his servant. At least you tried, right? At least you tried. So let's don't be so gripped by fear about, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I might fail. I might be put in a position where I'm faced off with someone and I won't know what to say. So I'm just going to stay to myself. I'm not going to interact. I'm not going to get involved in a ministry opportunity. I'm not going to try to mentor someone. I'm not going to try to disciple someone. I might mess up their life by saying the wrong thing or being ignorant. Friend, try. By faith, move forward in the grace of God. Become a student of the Word, saying, Lord, you've put me in this step. I want to walk. I don't want to just be staying put. I don't want to be idle. So what's the answer? Keep moving. Keep moving by faith, and at the same time, watch your steps, because we all need to watch ourselves, don't we? God help us. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders and the wisdom of Proverbs that we know isn't ultimately from Solomon, though you used him. We know that this is inspired by your very Holy Spirit. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We don't need to hear a booming voice out of the clouds. We have the settled, preserved, authoritative, applicable word of God for us today. Now, Lord, I ask that you would apply it to our hearts very personally. How this looks in individual lives is going to be a little bit different. And so, Lord, I'm praying that your Holy Spirit hopefully already has been doing this, but even now would do this even more intensely. Realize, have I been watching my steps? Have I been cautious about my movement through daily life experience? Do I have faith in Christ? Have I gone too far the other direction where I've said, well, you know, I'm so afraid I'm going to misstep that I'm not going to step at all? Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts so that we might enjoy the abundant life that is ours through Jesus Christ as we operate as you guide us. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.